We heard strong words from Democratic Congressman Charles Rangel on our program Tuesday regarding the so-called Downing Street memo. That document referenced a 2002 meeting between British Prime Minister Tony Blair and his security cabinet, in which it was suggested that American intelligence and facts about Iraq were, quote, being fixed around the policy of the Bush administration. Commentator Joseph C. Phillips says, when it comes to the memo, the president's critics fall wide of the mark.
There are times the cynic in me rises to the surface and I am tempted to wave my hands in frustration and simply say, y'all got it. Such is the case with what has come to be known as the Downing Street Memo and the mock impeachment inquiry of President Bush conducted by Michigan Congressman John Conyers. Conyers and his troop contend minutes taken from a meeting of British government and intelligence officials on July 23, 2002, offer a smoking gun proving that the Bush administration lied about U.S. involvement in Iraq, charges which, if true, certainly warrant our outrage and the theatrics of Conyers and Company. Unfortunately, the show and the documents only succeed in leaving one with a lukewarm, been-there-done-that familiarity. According to Conyers, the document seemed to indicate that the United States and Great Britain agreed by the summer of 2002 to attack Iraq and that U.S. officials were deliberately manipulating intelligence to justify the war. Regrettably, what we do not have is context. The memo neither quotes George Bush nor anyone from the Bush administration. In fact, it never quotes anyone. We don't know who said what, how it was said, or why. All we have are the author's summary and interpretation of diplomatic meetings with U.S. officials. There is, of course, ample evidence that contradicts the DSM, not the least of which are the 9/11 Commission and the WMD Commission reports, both of which found no evidence of politicization of the intelligence community's assessments concerning Iraq's reported WMD programs. The New York Times further contradicts the DSM, reporting that a memorandum written by Prime Minister Tony Blair's cabinet office in late July of the same year states, quote, no political decisions have been taken, end of quote. Interestingly enough, the memo succeeds best at countering the anti-war contention that the Bush and Blair administrations lied about their knowledge of WMDs. It's clear throughout the memo that all parties believed Iraq in possession of WMDs, even if those weapons were, in the words of the DSM, less than other nations in the region. What changed the equation was 9/11. Blair is quoted in a March 2002 memo as saying, quote, the truth is that what has changed is not the pace of Saddam Hussein's WMD programs, but our tolerance of them post-11 September, end of quote. Further clouding our clarity was the testimony of former intelligence analyst Ray McGovern. Under questioning from Representative James P. Moran, Democrat from Virginia, McGovern proclaimed with a straight face that the war in Iraq was launched so, quote, the United States and Israel could dominate that part of the world, end of quote. You know, it's difficult to maintain one's credibility, much less the public's credulity, when witnesses such as McGovern are allowed to spout such anti-Semitic nonsense, even if for the dramatic effect of a mock impeachment hearing for cable television. The implications of the charges levied by Conyers are serious. If this administration led this nation down the garden path, no one wants to know more than those that have supported this administration. Our integrity is not for sale. Unfortunately, there is no smoking gun in the DSM, and last week's John Conyers show was little more than a rerun of the same anti-war rhetoric we have heard before, repackaged with the smattering of anti-Semitism and offered to the American people on free cable.
Joseph C. Phillips is an actor and syndicated columnist.